was God. And then the Bible says, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and habitated among us. Short 33-year span, no books written, no journey longer than 150 kilometers, no great libraries, no great universities, but a message from heaven that the kingdom of God was coming. We celebrated a king this morning. Didn't you love that inspirational challenge? Do you know my Jesus? That is the king that we celebrate. That is the king who brought a kingdom and said, my kingdom is at hand. They'd been waiting for so long for the kingdom of God to come, announced through John the Baptist and then announced by Jesus himself. And he came and declared that kingdom for a 3-year ministry. He raised the dead, he healed the sick, gave life to lepers. He preached the goodness of his heavenly Father. His Father, with whom the Bible says he was one, as God manifest, became flesh. And we want to just pick up a story this morning in John chapter 3. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus, and if you turn in your Bibles there, we'll see that they were anticipating the kingdom of God to come. They were very excited about this king and his kingdom. And they recognized there was something about Jesus, but they weren't quite sure because it wasn't happening the way they thought it was going to happen. They thought, well, if they were God, it would have been a big angelic procession with chariots of gold and flames of fire announcing the coming of the king to his kingdom, the Messiah. And because it didn't happen like that, there was a little bit of confusion. As even today, there's a little bit of confusion around who is this Jesus. And if you pick up the story with me in chapter 3, from verse 1, as a message title today, I want to speak about the greatest gift, that Jesus had to be born into this world so that we could be born into His. This is what Christmas is all about. Jesus had to be born into this sinful, fallen world. God taking on flesh so that you and I could transfer kingdoms out of a fallen kingdom called the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of God. And that happens as the Word, the imperishable Word, finds its way in our heart. The enduring living Word of God by which we're born again, by which we transferred out of one kingdom into another kingdom. That's the Word that you're hearing this morning. That's the Word I'm declaring to you. It's not a perishable Word, it's an imperishable Word. So as we read together. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. They were waiting for a kingdom to come. They were religious. They were righteous according to the law of Moses. And in spite of all that, Jesus said to them, this kingdom you cannot enter until you're born again. This is, for me, a beautiful Christmas story. Because it epitomizes the very reason for Christmas, for the coming of Christ. And what's so important for us today is to understand this, what Jesus is communicating to him, is a supernatural experience that cannot be attained through him being a righteous Pharisee of a legalistic group in the Jewish religion. You see, to be born again is not something you do for God. It's what God does for you. Religion is all about what we can do for God. You see, that's why we keep saying Christianity is not a religion. Jesus came to the most religious. I mean, yeah, you've got Nick, if you don't mind me calling him that for a moment. We've got Nick here. And he is very righteous, and he's a Pharisee, and he goes through extreme disciplines and sacramental rituals that are performed exactly to the letter. And he's a good person, nothing wrong with him. He comes to Jesus at night, maybe because he was ashamed that he might have been seen if he came during the day. But so he appears to the Jesus here, and he's so close, but he thinks it's something he's got to do. And Jesus looks past all that and says, you must be born again. To be born again is not something you do for God. It's something God does in you. God does not respond to what we do for Him. We respond to what He does inside of us. This is what Jesus is talking about. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Because He is very much alive. Come on, explain to me, Jesus. I'm alive. How can I go a second time into my mother's womb? What is this about being born again? What exactly are you saying? And Jesus says, no, flesh gives birth to flesh. Nicodemus, you're alive in the flesh. You got feelings, you got thoughts, you got attitudes, you got belief systems. But there's something missing. You're dead. You see, contrary to what religion teaches, Jesus wasn't so interested in coming to make naughty people become good people. That's what most people think religion is. Make naughty people good people. That wasn't Jesus' primary purpose. His primary purpose was to make dead people alive people. It's a supernatural transaction that takes place when we move out of one kingdom into another kingdom. This is not just signing up for church membership. This is not just assuming a cultural Christianity, going through the motions, celebrating the events, and going through all the rituals. This is a supernatural thing Jesus is saying. That's why He cuts right across all the religious talk. And He says, only that which is born of Spirit can be Spirit. Jesus came to make dead people alive. I want to just share with you three things here, very basically, about the subject of what does it mean to be born again. And as I've already stated, you're alive today not because of something you did. You're sitting here today because of something your parents did. You get it? I mean, you really didn't do much to get born. It was something your parents did. Okay, you got that. We're all adults here, so we understand that. In the very same way, Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, this kingdom that I'm bringing is not a kingdom of religion and ritual and Christianity culture. This kingdom I'm bringing is a dynamic kingdom which needs you to be born again into. It's not something you do, it's something that gets done for you. Just bear with me on this. Point number one. I'm going to give points this morning. It's a real Christmas sermon. 3 points and then a poem. Thank you very much. To be born again is not just about getting new religion, but about getting new life. You see, Nicodemus was zealous. I mean, these guys were very zealous. They were also well-educated people. I mean, they were a sect of the Jewish faith. They were very upright. In fact, the Essenes, who were a religious group that lived couple of hundred years after Christ, and they had the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were manuscripts of the Old Testament, said that the Pharisees were so religious that they... I mean, excuse me if this sounds a little bit distasteful to you, but just bear with me. On the Sabbath, they couldn't even go to the toilet because that involved a movement. I'm just telling you, it's written there. It's a fact. I'm not being crude. I'm just saying that's how religious they were about the Sabbath. The laws of God, the rituals, the regulations of the Mosaic law was so binding on them that they stayed in bondage. It's not just about getting new religion, but about getting new life. God's more interested in dead people becoming alive. And to Nicodemus, who was maybe looking for a little 2-point, 3-point plan here, it's like someone going to the doctor with a little cut on their ankle, and they think they just need a little bandage or a little plaster or a little... And the doctor does tests, comes back half an hour later and says, "Sir, we have to take your leg off below the knee." Suddenly it's gone from just a little scratch to something very serious. You see, this is what Jesus is doing to Nicodemus. He's moving him from just flattery. "Oh, we know you. You must be a good person. You know, after all, you know, nobody could be doing these things if you didn't come from God." But Jesus is looking beyond all that. And he's seeing a much more serious condition. Because without Christ, we are dead in our sin. And only the miracle of rebirth translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom where Jesus is king. And I think for many churchgoers around the world, just belonging to a certain denomination, growing up in a certain kind of home, they think that gives them their identity as a Christian. But your identity comes by your birth, not by what you do. You can bark like a dog, you're not a dog unless you were born a dog. You can crow until the cows come home. You're not a crow or a cow unless you are born a crow or a cow. Because it's what you are born, it determines your identity. Jesus was born into this world, God in the flesh, so that you and I could be born into a new kingdom. You must be born again. The second thing we see is that to be born again is not just about affirming that Jesus was supernatural, but experiencing the supernatural in our own lives. We can objectively analyze Jesus Christ and mentally consent and assent to the things that he did or purported to have done. But to be born again is not just to stand admiring the sandaled and bearded man that walked on Galilee, but it's to enter into a supernatural experience whereby your dead spirit is made alive and you are born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Now Nicodemus is flattering Jesus. He says, "All these miracles." So he was observing the supernatural. And in church today, we can see what God is doing and stand back and admire things and say, "Wow, look at that. And this one's eyes are opened. And this leper was raised from, this dead person reportedly was raised from the dead." And we can objectively watch all this. If Nicodemus came to most preachers today and said, "We can see you must be from God. Look at all the miracles." They would say to him, "Yeah, give this man a mark." Jesus didn't use Nicodemus to promote his ministry by saying, "Oh, he's a religious man and he can see I'm from God. Can't you? What's wrong with you guys? Can't you see who I am? I'm the miracle worker. Come on now. Give it up for me. Give this man a mark. Buy him a tent and a generator and let him go and tell everybody who I am. No, none of you get it, but this Nick gets it. Nicodemus gets it. Man, he's switched on. He's acknowledging that I came from God. He's acknowledging I'm doing supernatural works. Wow, did you hear what happened down at that place and that crusade and that conference?" And objectively looking, objectively admiring, objective flattery. But Jesus doesn't get taken up with that because he sees a much more serious condition. The man is dead in his sin and transgression. And unless he has a supernatural experience, he will stay dead. With all his ritual and all his culture. And then thirdly, it is not, this being born again is not an improvement of our own old human nature, but it's the creation of a new human nature. A nature that is really you and is now being formed by the Spirit to be like Jesus. This is what it means to be born again. I remember as a young person searching religion. No formal upbringing in Christianity or anything else. And there was confusion about, what about that religion? I mean, some of you ever felt that? What about that religion? I never went and actually investigated what other religions were saying. It just became a bit of a smokescreen excuse, to be honest with you. So now when people say to me, well, what about other religions? I say, really? Well, what do other religions say? Because they've never really investigated or looked into it. Because if they did, all they would find are lots of rules and rituals of what you got to do for God. That's what religion will give you. Lots of outward sacraments and ceremonies and things to do. Only Jesus can give you new birth. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has legally fulfilled the courts of justice that pays for your sin. When he cried out, "It is finished," it meant his blood was shed for every sin you have committed, can commit, or ever could commit. It was finished on the cross. And the moment I put my faith in this message, when I hear it, something happens on the inside of me that's a miracle of God. It's not something you can do. It's not something a preacher can do. It's not something a church can do. You can only believe. But the supernatural miracle is the work of God. The wind blows where it wants to, and nobody knows, Jesus says here. In the same way, the Word became flesh. When we hear the Word, we are born again by the incorruptible Word, the living, enduring Word. When we believe that what Jesus finished on the cross was in my place, and His shed blood was my death, I should have died. And his burial was the burial I should have had for eternity. But he rose again on the third day. The Bible says we rose up together with him and now are seated in heavenly places. If we believe in Christ. And in that moment, my friend, I don't even know if that's what saves you. What saves you is that God credits it to you as righteousness. He gives you a new nature. He gives you a new heart. He enters into a new covenant with you. Not based on your goodness and righteousness, but based on Christ's righteousness and goodness. This is what it means to be born again. He gives us a new heart. I once heard a lovely picture of that, which was a hard heart was like stone. Then he gave us a heart that was soft like putty. And the closer we get, allow the Holy Spirit into our lives, the more He imprints our heart with an image of Jesus. You see, that's what it means to be born again, my friend. How do I know if I'm born again? If Nicodemus didn't know, how do I know? I mean, how do I know if I'm born again? Well, let me tell you one thing. Your heart has got soft. What used to be just compulsory church going, compulsory church activity gave way to connecting with your Heavenly Father in an intimacy and a closeness. Something that was dead before came alive. Because you were alive before you got born again. Before you get born again, you are alive. You're alive to your emotions, you're alive to sports channels, you're alive to relationships and parties, you're alive to everything, but something isn't alive, and it's that softness towards Jesus. You could even come into a place of singing songs like this and clap your hands, raise your hands, sing through the songs, but your heart remains hard. Someone who's not born again can have a mental belief about God, but God's kind of a distant, far off, deistic being of some sort that you're not quite sure about. And singing certain songs and going to certain church services gives you a little bit of relief. But you don't know that you've been born again. Because when you're born again, something in your spirit has an intimacy of warmth with Jesus. I know I'm born again because I know in my heart I've encountered Jesus Christ. His love, His presence. You must be born again. This is more than just Christianity culture. Before we were born again, we were legally guilty. We were under wrath. We were morally rebellious. We were spiritually dead. But when we're born again, something changes in our heart. They become soft towards God. Now let me just wrap this up this morning by saying, maybe you're visiting here today. Maybe you're a visitor, you're an infrequent churchgoer. If I were to ask you to your face, are you born again? You might not even be sure. You might even say, well, I don't know. I've got something to tell you this morning. First of all, welcome and thanks for being here with us. You really are welcome. This is not a building for people who profess to be born again. This is for seekers, people in a journey. So if that's the first thing that drawing on this story I told this morning, you have this Nicodemus who was a very religious person. And maybe your idea of Christianity is a religious idea of what I don't do and what I do and church rules and church lists. Forget about that stuff this morning. And just hear what Jesus says. You must be born again. Because your birth will determine your identity. And in that identity and in that relationship with God, He will bring about the change in your heart that you want. But it'll be God's work for us, not our work for God. Christmas is a celebration of His life 2,000 years ago that was born in a manger. But today is a celebration of your life. Should you say, God, I want to be born again. You see, my friend, we don't meet Jesus at the top of a ladder. You know, in the business world, everything is a ladder. You achieve, you climb, you achieve, you climb. We don't meet Jesus at the top of a religious do and don't list. You know where we meet Jesus? At the foot of a cross. Where He looks you in the eye and calls out, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. We meet Jesus not at the top of a ladder, but at the foot of a cross, where He looks you in the face and says, you must be born again. Our concluding verse, John chapter 1, verse 12. Can I have this up on the board? Yet to all who received Him, John 1 verse 12 and 13, yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You must be born again. You must be born again. Let's pray. Ask the musicians if they could come up, please. Lord, this morning as we have gathered around this beautiful Christmas event, that we are celebrating your birthday, not just as your birthday, but as your birth, your life, your death, your burial and resurrection. Jesus, thank you that you weren't caught up with religion. Thank you that you weren't caught up with flattery. Thank you that you were caught up with man's deepest need. That his deepest and greatest need is that man is spiritually dead, cut off from God, separated and alienated. But you have brought life. And Lord, this morning, I want to pray wherever your word has found a place in our hearts, whether we've already been born again, because then we'll come to a greater appreciation of what happened, or if we've never been born again, that we can say, God, that's the miracle I need. That preacher can't do it for me. He was told just to scatter the seeds. This church can't do that for me. It's just a family of people seeking and loving you. But Almighty God, I pray you'd breathe, even as you breathe on first Adam's nostrils, that you would breathe the life of God in this place as people are born again, not of natural flesh, but of spirit. That you would breathe even now as people have believed in their heart that Jesus Christ's death, burial and resurrection was for them. As they believe that, I pray for a supernatural encounter right now. Lord, as you breathe the breath of heaven into their lives, into lives sitting here this morning, unsure people, without any assurance of the salvation. Spirit of God, would you come and do the miracle I know you'd love to do more than anything else? More than anything else. Would people be born again? Would people be born again? Would people be born again? Thank you, Jesus, that you were born into this world, this fallen kingdom, so that we could be born again into your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Jesus. You know, it's funny, I usually feel to lead people in a prayer, and then there's a response, but I just feel supernaturally this morning, faith is being imparted to people, just where they're sitting. And I believe you're going to be coming back to hear more in the new year. Amen? If you don't live around here, you're going to find a Bible preaching community near you, and you're going to be going back to feed what started this morning. Amen? We got one more song to sing before we close the service. So I'm going to ask the guys we're going to take up an offering as well. While let's stand up together. Guys are going to come up and take the bags. We're going to be just taking up a morning offering here. If you're visiting with us, it's been great having